Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. And today I have my awesome co-host, Tracy McBurney, with me. Always so excited to have her. We are going to talk about decrees. It's going to be an interesting show because I'm looking forward to it. So, yay. Hey, Trace.
Hello. There she is. There's the lap. Awesome. Yes, awesome. Hello. How are you?
Good.
Awesome.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so I made a couple of notes, and I just thought today this would be lovely. This would be kind of an awesome thing to put on a radio show. I love the concept of it. It's kind of like decrees are what I've been told is decrees are like a 5D interface. So it's a really nice way to move somebody out of kind of the 3D world, you know, the real physical world that they might be trapped in with no real connection to spirit and their own light, and really just move them very quickly into solutions and living more from a 5D reality.
Nice.
So decrees are a command, and decrees are always connected to light. So you are always working with light. There's no working with darkness with regard to decrees. You're always working with light. You're always working to better connect yourself with your own light and with that source light. Decrees, really, they're given by cosmic law and order. So there's kind of a specific wording for a decree that moves something out or a decree that brings something in. So working with decrees is actually quite lovely. Like, it's quite simple. I think you've heard me say this before, keep it simple, smarty. Like, really, keep it simple, smarty. So I love that too. So I just thought, well, let's bring forward this concept and then see what people are going to be able to make of it.
Right.
So the decree, or one of the decrees that... or probably one of the master ones that's about moving things away from you, is just the simple decree that says, you can leave now.
Right.
So blank, you can leave now. So that doesn't necessarily mean that you get to say, Father, you can leave now in decree, or Mother, you
right.
Like it's, but the energy swirling around Father that's right. Becoming so problematic, you can leave now.
Nice.
The pattern that is being used here to manipulate me, that can leave now. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So this can be as simple as stress. So I'm just feeling stressed right now. I'm trying to figure out which way to go, change in career. I'm just feeling stressed. Okay, stop. I am creator of my world. I have this ability to work with this 3D to 5D interfacing tool called decrees. I'm feeling stressed or anxious. Stress, you can leave now. And that energy starts to disperse. And if you don't feel it dispersing, like you made that command and nothing happens, then it's kind of an energy medicine. I'm always saying, hey, if you do that and nothing happens, look for the blocks. So then I would say, okay, if there are any blocks, reversals, resistances, interferences, obstacles, invisible obstacles, as long as it's safe, appropriate, and highest and best interest of the all, meaning no harm, you can leave now too. You can all leave now too. And that would normally just shift it all.
Right.
Unless you're still sitting there in stress.
Ah.
And you're going, okay, well, this is ridiculous. I've made this decree. I'm only working in light. The stress isn't moving. The stress energy isn't moving. the blocks and everything I've asked to move, I could feel those moving, and yet I'm still feeling this energy that I call stress. Well, maybe it's not stress. Maybe it's a different name. Maybe I need to recognize, oh, I've called this stress that I'm feeling all over me. But if it's not stress, okay, I leave it unnamed. You can leave now.
Oh.
Or it could be that, wow, maybe this is a way that I know how to live. I can't just move this because this is how I live. I live in stress. So I haven't brought in another way to be.
Ah.
So maybe there's a decree to bring something in to make it easier to move something out. Like lots of times it's, let's move that out, let's move that out, let's move that out, let's decree that out, let's move that out. And then we've made all this beautiful space to bring in something new. But sometimes we got to bring in the new first.
Right.
We got to anchor in something positive, and then we can go, all right, stress can leave. Because now I know that I can live somewhere else. Like I'm bringing in that possibility. I'm decreeing it in. So it's like living in joy. Living in joy. You can come in now. Living more in joy, living more in happiness. You can come in now. So get that for a second, that living more in joy, and you're speaking to it like it's a real being, like it's real consciousness. That's a real, like your mother's coming, walking in the door. It's a consciousness. You can come in now. Like it's its own entity. You can come in now. You are welcome now. Come in now. Like maybe the reason why I have no money is because I never really let it in. Maybe the reason why I have no money is because there's all sorts of things that have to go on before money can come in. So now I'm decreeing that money can come into my life, and money can come into my world, and money can come into my bank account, without me having to fulfill all of the old reasons and all of the old ways that previously I needed to fulfill. I'm going to let money freely come in to me because I'm exhausted. And it's not any fun. This relationship with money isn't any fun, trying to fulfill all of the ways that I've had to fulfill it in the past. Yeah, isn't that kind of fun to sit with?
Yeah.
Right? So decrees are lovely. So you've got the blank, you can leave now. So that includes a way of thinking. So a way of thinking that, we're having an issue with our soft tub in the back. And I could hear my husband yesterday telling me how expensive this was going to be to fix it.
Right.
And he's got this big, you know, very disturbed look. And it's just like, and he's now created this big, huge expense and this big, huge amount of money and all of the upset around that and all of the worry around that and all of the emotion around that. And I just was sitting there because all that energy's in their space between he and I. And I just literally inside of my head, you know, that way of thinking that it's going to cost all of that money, you can leave now. You can leave now because it's in my space. That's limiting everything around us right now around this. And so I just, exactly that, I decreed it differently. All of my husband's ideas about how it's going to cost so much money, all of the anger, all of the upset, all of the judgment of self, all of the, you can leave now. All of the fear around this. And around the cost of this, you can leave now. Because none of that's helpful, because at the end of the day, we don't really know. And if we just create it like that, then all the miracles that could happen, like there's the gentleman at the store who recognizes that our warranty is only out of warranty for about 6 months, recognizes that we've already had a problem with the motor that got covered under warranty about 7 months ago, recognizes that we don't use this product very much at all, and is really just sitting there saying, I'm going to go to bat for you guys. I'm going to get on the phone with these people in Sudbury, and I'm going to tell them what's going on, and blah, blah, and I'm going to see if I can get some money back for you or get them to, for, you know, to pay the bill. So he's busy doing that, and my husband's busy going, oh my goodness, the money, it's going to be so much money. I know it's going to be so much money. But you don't know.
Right.
You just think you know. Meanwhile, all of that other stuff that I think is much more positive is over there in the other background, and which seems louder. It feels like my husband's fear around all of this is going to be an anger and upset and judgment of self. I think all of that's going to be louder than Talon's passion at the Poolmaster store to see what he can do for us by going to bat for us with the company. Mm-hmm. And it almost feels like whichever one is going to be the louder one and the one that's more passionate. And it feels right now like it's probably going to be my husband's more passionate anger
right.
and judgment.
Right.
So I just thought, let's move that. Let's move that because it's not doing us any favors. And let's just leave in place all of the energy that's going to be the Talon energy and then put into place, thank you. Thank you, this universe. Thank you. So then what's the other positive decree? What do I want to bring in? I want to bring in the easiest, most effortless solution to this hot tub repair. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You can come in now. You can come in now. You can come in now. The least expensive, easiest, simplest, most delicious, but beautifully done repair of this hot tub on our behalf. Thank you to the universe for helping with that. Thank you for bringing in all of the team that can help with that. Thank you. Thank you. Which means the spirit world too, right? Like I'm very open to the spirit world. You can get right underneath that tub, please. You can start to sort whatever's going on in those, you know, PVC pipes. Cause we have no clue. Like it's just a bizarre thing. And it's just a wonderful little kind of portable little hot tub. So it's not like we're digging something out of the ground. It's like something that rolls along the lawn so that it can get put into a cube bin to get transferred out to this place to get it repaired. So it was always designed to be something that, you know, you kind of get the luxury of the concept of a hot tub for not an extraordinary amount of money.
Right.
And I envisioned that years ago when I rented one for the bar that I was general managing at that time. And we had a hot tub party with Bud Girls and we wheeled the biggest one of that onto the back patio so that we could self-realize that on that night. And it was quite extraordinary. And I remember on that night, kind of in the tub at the end of that night going, wow, I want one of these. One day I'm going to have one of these in my backyard,
nice.
Maybe a smaller one. But yeah, this would be super cool. And what, 20 years later or something, it's like it came rolling into our house.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was kind of neat. Okay, so now we just like that fixed effortlessly, right. Easily. So bringing that in. So just decreeing that in. Come in now. Like it's its own entity. Come in now. The simple, easy, effortless building the team in the spirit world, all working with light to come in to deliver that beautiful, simple, beautiful, elegant, lovely, not very expensive solution to this problem so that everything is fixed beautifully. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everybody that showed up to do that. I allow that to come in now. And it's interesting because something has shifted in my world. Because I'm not, and I know that it shifted and it all has to do with a Vitamix. And I didn't know I was going to talk about that, but I will. What's very interesting here is it's coming in. I'm allowing it to come in just like that. And not because I deserve it. Because I want it. Because I want it that way. I want it that way. I'd like to create with this universe to bring it in that way. And there's no concept of deserving it. There's no concept of worth. There's no concept of, there's no, let's just look at your spiritual report card and see how many check marks you have on that and whether you have enough value here. It's just like, no, I just want it to show up like that.
Nice.
That's what I would like. I'd like this to not be so expensive. I'd like the hot tub to be taken care of really well by really good people, really good energy in the spirit world as well as in the physical world. Amassing that team that can get that job done. Like, I'm perfectly open to the concept of psychic surgery on the hot tub. You're bringing in the masters, grandmasters, great grandmasters in the spirit world that have the expertise to do that job. No problem. Please come. Please come help them. Please come guide them. Please come be with them. Please come make this beautiful, delicious, cheaper. I really will just mass all of that team. Come in now. Thank you. So the reason why I said that about the Vitamix, and I hadn't really realized that I was going to do that until I realized I made that decree to bring all of that in, that or better, and I just didn't feel any tweak to deserving at all. I didn't feel any of that old energy at all. It was just this clean, just bring that in because I want it that way. Just like, and I'm scratching my head. Is this me? Is this me? Yeah, this is me. Wow, that's a shift. And so to the Vitamix story, this year, in the pandemic year, I bought myself a Vitamix. And I have wanted one of those crazy blenders for maybe 20 years. And for maybe 20 years, it has been a want. It has been a, wow, that's delicious. Wow, that's amazing. Like, wow, look at what that does. Like, a holy man, that's just, never gave myself that. It was always, wow, that's really expensive. That's a really expensive thing. That's a really expensive. I don't blend things enough to put that on my counter. Right. That's just too expensive. But then I watched this year. I looked because Costco had a sale on Vitamixes, which of course in my world, like, Vitamixes don't go on sale. Like, they just don't go on sale. And there was Costco with $150 off price on a Vitamix. And I'm looking at Cody going, you know, Vitamixes don't go on sale. And this is on sale. Like, this is extraordinary. Like, I mean, I have to get out of my way. I've got some Christmas money. This is what I should spend it on. I've wanted a Vitamix for so long. And my brother gave me Christmas money and said, you know, just buy something that you wouldn't normally buy for yourself and just buy it and enjoy it and blah, blah, blah. And of course, I'm sitting there. I can't do this. I can't, like, I mean, the guilt, all of the craziness inside of my body. I mean, I can't even tell you. I would have loved to have known about decrees by then because it would have been so lovely to move some of that energy out. But I was tormented by this idea. So I bought it. On sale, because Costco's great. You can return anything. Yep. Even months later, you can return it. And I just kept the box. It sat in our living room for a month. I didn't open it. It just sat there in our living room, dining room for a month. And I looked at it and I went, no, I have to bring it back. I have to bring it back. This is just too expensive. I have to bring it back. I can't justify having this.
Wow.
So even after I measured it all out and I went, you know what, it could fit here, it could fit here. And if we just move this, and even after I did all of that, I didn't take it out of the box. And I watched myself move towards it thinking, today's the day I'm going to bring it back to my car, take it back to Costco. Didn't do that. Today's the day I'm going to open the box and put it on the shelf. Didn't do that. It just sat in the box. And I thought, now I really have to do some work on this. I really have to do some spiritual work on this. And so I started to realize, I started to pay attention to the monkey business. I started to pay attention to the, no, you can't really have this because it's so much money. And what are you going to use it for? And are you going to use it every day? And are you going to use it two times a day? And I was grilling my girlfriend, who was the chef. What do you use your Vitamix for? Tell me all of the things you use your Vitamix for, because I'm trying to justify having this. It can't just be because I want it. Mm-hmm. It can't just be because I want it. It has to be for a bigger reason than I want it. It has to be for a bigger reason than I love it. I love the way the Vitamix works. I'm a Virgo. I love the efficiency. I love so many things about that particular product. And then I recognized, look at all the things that I bought because I wouldn't buy myself a Vitamix. Mm. I bought a soup machine where the guy who sold me the soup machine at one of these shows said, and the blade is like a Vitamix blade. So if you ever want to make one of those creamy soups, you'll be able to push this button and all that stuff that you've just made that soup with, you'll be able to zip it around like it was a Vitamix, but not for the price of the Vitamix. And I'm going, yeah, well, I bought one of those for $100. And then I bought a juicer that had a blade that, you know, then the whole story is this is just really quite similar to the Vitamix and it's going to pulverize stuff and blah, blah, and it didn't work very well. So I bought one of those. Then I bought another juicer. And so I'm literally looking at these three products that I bought instead of a Vitamix, sum total of those about $450 when the Vitamix was $650. Mm. And I'm like, I bought all of those. And I'm thinking, and I never gave myself what I truly wanted because I couldn't justify it. I finally moved through all of it. In fact, at one point was crying. I was literally crying. I was literally crying because I was literally moving out some really old energy around this whole thing about my desires and them not being good enough or, you know, what it was just, it was really painful amount of work, and there was no decree stuff that I was working with at that time. And I finally got myself unhooked from so many different things, and I could literally take the Vitamix out of the box and say to myself, I'm going to have it because I want it. I'm going to have it because I want it, and I'm fine. I've moved all the guilt around this. I've moved all the shame around this, all the embarrassment around this. I'm okay with having that Vitamix there, and maybe I'll use it that week. Maybe I won't, but it's going to be on my counter as a beautiful appliance that I've wanted for 20 years. And so that's the way it's been since it was, and I think I've used the Vitamix maybe 5 times since I put it on that counter. And each time that I've used it, or my son's used it, and I watch it work, and I watch the pina colada being made or whatever, and I taste the frothiness of it or whatever, and I'm just like, oh, I love that I bought this Vitamix. I just love this pina colada. I just love the fact that it tore the shred out of that pineapple and just made this incredible pina colada. That was just amazing. And I'm just in such appreciation of that machine and its ability. And then it just stays there on the countertop, dormant until the next time I use it. But all of the deservedness gone.
Right.
All of the, you have to use this every day. You have to make use of this. You have to get your money's worth from this. You have, you know, all of that just gone. It's just that, and I recognize that I'll have that Vitamix in my life, maybe for 15, 20, maybe for my whole life, maybe not. But I'll have that Vitamix in my life until there's something better or until I really don't want it anymore. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And so all of these old issues were gone. And I recognized how much pain I'd put myself through by making all of this stuff a deservedness issue and a justification issue. And why wasn't it enough that I, the spirit of me, this really came from the spirit of me. It really came from a really deep place of really liking that machine, if that makes sense. Like really liking how it worked, really appreciating how it worked. It was the same thing that I felt about the Krupp's espresso machine when I bought it. Mm-hmm. Like I really, it wasn't an expensive machine, but I really liked its design. I really liked the way the German, you know, mechanics had figured some things out. It was just delicious. And there was just, and I never stopped appreciating that machine until it just was done and I couldn't replace it and get another one.
Oh.
And, you know, the machine that I have now is just, I don't have that same kind of delicious kind of, you know, appreciation for the perfection. Yeah, there's the word perfection. It's just like that perfection of whatever that is. Like somebody just really reached to the God sense within themselves or whatever the company was to really just self-realize that.
Yeah.
on the planet. So yeah, anyway, we're back to decrees, but yeah, so that was what I saw. And I just saw it now. I thought, that's really cool. It's really cool to not get into all that monkey business about deservedness. It's like, no, it's nothing to do with deservedness. This is what I want. I want it to be easy. I want it to be not so expensive. I want to call in the spirit world. I want to call in the magic. I don't want to call in black magic, but I want to call in white magic. I want to call in the spirits, the masters, grandmasters, great grandmasters. Like, they're already there. They're already there at Pool Master, waiting for these guys to come, and they're all going to be together, you know, sorting that out. And maybe one of the spirits will be right there, you know, being a wonderful force and heart for Talon when he's on the phone with the people in Sudbury.
Yes.
Because I asked for that.
And when did you figure out the decree part? Like, what came about that you realized how powerful this was?
Well, I think I've always used this word now for a lot of the time that I've been in an energy medicine, or I've been teaching energy medicine. There have been times when I've just added the now to the end of one of the sentences that we were asking for, but didn't really realize thoroughly the power of that word now. And I'm allowing that now. I'm bringing that in now. Bring that in now. It's a decree.
Right.
It's really recognizing, like, those statements are really recognizing, I am co-creating this experience with this universe.
Right.
We are one in this, working together when I'm saying those things. Hmm. Yeah. And I mean, some of this has been very new to me, but I loved the concept of taking a statement that somebody gets themselves all wrapped up in, like, oh, that's impossible. That's impossible. That will never happen. Right. And so just the quotes around that statement, that's impossible. That belief that's impossible, that will never happen, you can leave now. Because you are limiting me, and you are limiting the whole experience. And really, at the end of the day, how can I know that? How can anybody know that? Maybe it hasn't happened like this for 400 centuries, any other way other than it's happened. But maybe it's because for 400 centuries, people have said to themselves, that's impossible. It can never happen any other way. And so it doesn't. So I'm just opening up to the concept of magic. I'm just opening up to the concept of being wrong. Of releasing myself.
Well, it's not so much wrong. It's more that we have stuck in our patterns of belief. I mean, it's our fears that are blocking us. It's our fear that's saying, oh, we can't have that. We don't deserve that. We're not worthy of it, or we're not lovable enough to have it, or I mean, those are fears.
It's also opinion. You know, we took on
yes,
the look of somebody else, or the opinion of somebody else, or our own opinion, and then made a whole bunch of what can we have, what can't we have, what are we capable of, what are we not capable of, based on that. And so it's in a weird sort of way, there's a bit of an arrogance.
Oh, yeah.
Right? When you kind of stand there and say, that's impossible. That's impossible. That's impossible. That will never happen. Oh, well, thank you, Buddha. thank you, all-knowing. That I'll sit in the presence of you, the all-knowing, as you say that to me. And how do you know that, please? Could you please sit here and tell me exactly how that you know that? How are you so sure of that, that is impossible and that will never happen? How do you absolutely, definitively know that? That you would stand there with both of your hands out and tell me how it is.
Because that's our experience.
Right. And so I'm prepared to say maybe, but maybe not.
Right.
And I'm not prepared to limit what could be available to me or a client based on what the experience was yesterday or 200 years ago. Because that just has us going into the data banks of subconscious information to find the very best end result that maybe we can find and saying, okay, there you go. Or going through that whole data bank in the subconscious mind and going, well, it never happened. It's never happened. It's never happened. So it must be impossible because it's never happened. Well, then it never will.
Right.
If that's the way the thinking is. So I'm just wanting to be open to things not necessarily being so certain. Because then as soon as we sit in that certainty, then there's potentially a limitation there and an arrogance.
Right.
Because how can we really know? Well, we have that God energy connection within us, but so often we're not using it or connecting with it.
Right. And we're limiting it by telling it what it can and can't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with myself and working with these decrees, I was having a little bit of fun the other day because I was just sitting with the desire for more clarity on what to do next in my career. So just looking for more clarity.
Right.
So as a decree, greater clarity, greater divine clarity around a direction for my career. Thank you for coming in. Come in now. Come in now. Now, what could be in the way or make it a little bit more challenging for that beautiful energy to come in? Well, all of my doubt, all of my fear, all of my anxiety. So the concept, if I've got fear and anxiety and self-doubt and low self-esteem and a low sense of confidence, if any of that stuff, energy, is existing within me, you can leave now. Because if I sit with that, I don't think that the light within me, my true self operating in light, sits in a place of low self-esteem. I don't think that my true light within sits in a place of lack of confidence. I don't think that my true sense of light within is in a place of self-doubt. So as I wish for these sorts of things to leave now, my desire is to bring more of the clarity of what is the truth of me into those spaces. So almost like a circle, the completion of a circle. And so that I'm just making space to bring in a greater sense of the truth of me, a greater sense of what is truth at the deepest resources of me, and I'm making space for that. And then I had a sense of, well, if I am, which I am, if I am in this place of lacking clarity, which means I'm in some sort of a disconnected state from that divine sense of myself. So if I am actually in that state, which I am, and maybe I'm then sitting there going, dissatisfaction. So just kind of going, looking back and going, okay, well, part of the issue of why I'm looking for this little bit of a change is recognizing for the last couple of years, this almost like dissatisfaction, like there isn't enough passion, there isn't enough joy in the decisions that I've made and continue to have made. And so there was the feeling of dissatisfaction and the feeling of disillusionment and maybe even a little bit of a feeling of apathy and just not as invested, not as inspired. And then just kind of sitting there and going, okay, well, I remember that's not where I was. That's not where I was, but that's where I got to. That's, you know, after X number of years in the career, I slipped in my magnificence, so to speak. I was now sitting here in kind of a gully. And so I kind of sat there and I went somewhere in this experience because it was so joyful and so amazing and so fulfilling for X number of years. Somewhere in this experience, I got lost. So then, of course, I'm then asking a pretty meaningful question. Where did I get lost? Feels like that's the truth. I got a little lost. So where did I get lost? When did that happen? when did everything take a little bit of a turn downward? And I got the answer to that. And I sat there and went, wow. Okay, then. All right, then. Now with this kind of new, cool degrees tool, how do I want to work with that? What energy was there in that moment that I see from my past where the loss started to happen? Where I couldn't figure it out in that day, where I got really stressed about something that happened that affected and impacted my career, and I didn't have an answer for it. And not only was I troubled, I was afraid. I was afraid for them. I was afraid for me. I was afraid for what that would mean to my career. There was just so much fear and upset and feeling responsible for, and also feeling irresponsible. Feeling so responsible for what had happened, and therefore feeling so irresponsible too. And so as I sat with that and I got honest with that, okay, I started to use the decrees. All right. Feelings of irresponsibility at that time, you can leave now. Feelings of judgment of me at that time, you can leave now. Feelings of fear and terrified at that time, terrified for me, terrified for them, you can leave now. Feelings that I'm so responsible for what happened, you can leave now. Feelings of doubting me as a teacher of that thing that I love to teach, energy medicine, you can leave now. Feelings of needing to step away from this because I'm not the right person to be teaching a class like this, you can leave now. Yeah, and even though I haven't even told you the whole story, you can feel energy shifting.
Yeah. I can feel energy shifting for me and listening to your story.
Right, because as I tell you that story, as I gave you that vulnerable moment in my life, people can find it. They can find their own moment where something went wrong as they perceived it, felt such a level of responsibility to it, or irresponsibility, or both, felt terrified, afraid, not knowing how to handle it. But, you know. And of course, if I say to myself, you need to step away from what it is that you love, you need to step away, you need to distance yourself, you need to not do that anymore. Well, no wonder I'm lost. Because I'm telling myself to step away from my calling. I'm telling myself to step away from that which is foundationally part of such a deep connection to my light within. And I'm telling myself to step away from it so I can protect other people. And the judgments of I didn't know enough. And I didn't frame it well enough. You can leave now. And the need to be in more control and control more, you can leave now. Because at that time to me, it was like, no, there was just so much that was freely given, so much that was freely given, so much stuff that was just channeling in. It's like, no, we got to lock this down. We got to take more control. We got to be more in control of this. It can't just all freely come in like this. Because look what happened. It got misinterpreted by a student. This ended up happening, blah, 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 and this whole series of coincidences. And so now we got to lock it down, take more control of this. You can leave now. Because that's what I saw as the solution to the issue. So divine solutions to this issue, you can come in now. And if there are any blocks, reversals, resistances, interferences, obstacles, or invisible obstacles to those divine solutions coming in now, to what went on at that time, that as long as it's safe, appropriate, and highest and best interest of the all, I allow for those all to be released. So I don't leave myself in resistance to divine solutions coming in. Yeah, it's pretty special, right? Yeah, and easy.
Yeah,
really easy. Okay, before we started the call, we were having fun just playing with the concept of, what did you call it? You called it a pulling on your right side coming down into your butt area, and you only gave it a 3 out of 10.
Right.
At that time. So it wasn't what I call a big pulling of pain, but it was a 3 out of 10 at that time. How is that feeling now?
It was mostly gone. It's a little bit there.
Okay, so playing with you just for a second, because I think, you know, whoever's going to hear this, they might find it interesting. So can you currently connect at this time to a feeling, an emotional state, a tightness anywhere? Anything that just says, oh, you know what, that doesn't necessarily feel like it's flowing, or I'm connecting to what I might call a fear, or I'm connecting to anger, or is there anything that's coming up?
I feel like it's partly associated with my determination maybe to walk more. Hot weather lately, so overheated. Along with the hot flashes, the hot weather is not my friend.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
And so I go for my walks, feel good about that. But then I think because last year, last summer, especially starting of the pandemic, when it was stay at home, I kind of took that a little bit too much to heart and stayed at home. And I know that that did a lot of, just it really hurt my body to not be moving. And so now it's like I get almost anxious if I haven't moved. And I figured, yeah, it's like I'm determined, but I'm pushing myself maybe too much.
Okay. So, all right. So let's just unpack this a bit, because I don't feel like we're going to do any harm in any way, shape, or form. But you've said certain things, and I'm going, maybe we can separate these a little bit. So anxiety when I don't move, mm-hmm. And when I don't get a chance to move, you can leave now. The anxiety that I felt, because I think you're still holding it in your body. The anxiety, maybe in fear, that I felt last year when I took the lockdown order really seriously and wasn't moving and wasn't leaving my house, you can leave now. And while we're doing that, I am asking for divine to come in to hold you, because we're right back in that time frame. And I want you held. Yeah, because I didn't have your experience.
Right.
I live in a house with a son, 22, and a husband. So there are distractions. There are people to talk to. There's physical bodies in the house.
Yes.
Right? Whereas you're on your own, you know, in your apartment, and now they've got you in lockdown. And so I would bet you that your body is holding a pretty nice amount of feelings of loneliness too from that time. So feelings of loneliness, I want you to repeat that, because really, if it's not there, doing nothing, right? So we're just wasting time. I call it spiritual masturbation. But it feels like it is there. So I'm sitting here with that feelings of loneliness, and I actually feel like feelings of loneliness being held in the body and carried in the body, I think it's been with you always. And it would not surprise me if feelings of loneliness were part of your birth mother's experience, even while she was carrying you in the womb. And maybe one of the reasons why she came together with the man or the boy that she slept with at that time was because of feelings of loneliness. And so feelings of loneliness held in your body might remind you of that birth mother. And if she's in that state while you're growing in the womb, then it starts to create what I call the running home to mother program. So what's in the program, what's in the individual program that I call running home to mother, all of the feelings that your birth mother was having while she was growing you in the womb. So if loneliness, sadness, whatever was part of her experience, and it's now floating in the amniotic fluid and it's surrounding you, and that is your first home. So not only does it create home, so that's what home is. It's a signature for home, but it becomes the very meat of what I call the coming home to mom program. Mm. And when does that get ignited? When you're in trouble. It gets ignited when you skin your knees. It gets ignited when you are traumatized. It gets ignited when things don't work out the way you needed them to work out. It gets you ignited when you feel unsupported. It gets united when things just don't work out. And then we go running home to mom, because mom's going to care for us and put the Band-Aid on our knee and make it all better. Moms make it all better in the program. So if you have loneliness in the amniotic fluid remembrances from birth mother, and you're in the pandemic, and you're already having a lonely experience and a fearful experience, now you're going to get a double whammy of it, because you're going to be running home to mom and creating more of it. And if there's any truth to that, then you were not necessarily one of the people who had a birthing 9-month experience that was all Pollyanna roses and happiness. And
definitely, right? Not.
And most people didn't have that. Most people did not have a 9-month gestation period of time where the mother just wasn't stressed, where the mother was just in lots of happiness and lots of joyfulness, calmness and harmony. And lots of us didn't actually enjoy that or have that. So when we ignite a running home to mom program, it normally puts us into a more troubling place. So what we'd want is we'd want to bring in, trying to think of what the best terminology would be for it, because we want to bring in a new relationship with divine mother energy. Mm. We'd want to ignite that. We want to bring that in. And maybe even divine masculine, divine feminine. Yeah, bringing that in, calling that in, an activating and awakening of divine mother, divine feminine energy, divine father, and activating and awakening of divine father energy that we can become aligned with.
I feel like the divine father was there.
Yeah, okay.
Just the divine mother, not so much.
Okay. Yeah. And at that point, we can then allow for the running home to mom energy to leave now. So either it's the cleansing and clearing of that whole program leaving.
Yes.
Or it's cleansing and clearing what was in the program so that it can now become a running home to divine mother, divine feminine, when we're in trouble, when we're looking for something to make everything feel better.
Yes. Felt more like the second one.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it feels like that running home to mother program. It's very limbic brain. It's very fight and flight. It's very rescuing.
I don't think I ever felt that desire to run home to mom.
Right, except that it is part of a triggered program when we're right. In trouble.
Right. No, I get that. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So it's almost like we're trying to slip back into mother's womb.
Right.
Get right back where it's safe and right back where we're protected. And right back in the old home that we knew, because at least we knew it, so we knew that we survived it. Yeah, so how does that feel now for you? Heat from my menopause, from my hormonal menopausal cycle, heat, you can leave now, created through my menopause cycle. So what are we doing? We're bringing in new possibilities and new ways coming in from divine light. So yes, you're still in the menopausal cycle, but we're bringing in something new. We're bringing in new behaviors. We're bringing in new wisdom. Like maybe it will all of a sudden come to mind to you, maybe an hour from now or 2 hours from now, that you just get this really strong idea that this one thing that you've been eating has been spiking this or creating a problem, or you get this one simple idea that says, take this, like bring oil of primrose into your world or bring flaxseed into your world. I'm making it up, but it's just like something just comes.
Right.
And how did that something just come? Because we've just allowed for this circle now. We've allowed for the opportunity of the idea that menopause is the process that she's going through as a woman, and she's going to get heated up in that process because that's just what happens. We're going, no, we're going to create this in a different way because we are magical and we have decreed it. So as we decree it, we're bringing in a new way that is a beautiful, lovely way that is your way that doesn't ask this of you and doesn't bring this in as part of the experience. And so you might want to reinforce that I open and I allow for new divinely guided ways to go through this menopausal cycle and out the other way, you know, with minimal to no suffering, with minimal to no hardship. That this would be an easy menopausal transition. I bring in easy menopausal transition. I bring in easy, graceful, natural menopausal transition. With next to no suffering, next to no pain, next to no hardship, I transition through this menopause easily. I bring that in. I bring that in now. Yeah, because clearly you've got programming and you've got programming that literally is creating this with quite a lot of hardship and heat. And it's like, yeah, and heat and suffering. I allow this menopausal transition to be graceful, beautiful, effortless, easy transition. I allow for that and I allow for that now. I give that to myself now. I allow the universe to give that experience to me now. Just like I've allowed the universe to give me this experience of overheating and suffering and hardship and painful transition, I allow it all to change now. I allow for painless transition, menopausally, to come in. I release all blocks, reversals, resistances, interferences, obstacles, invisible obstacles that might be standing in the way of what I've requested, as long as it's safe, appropriate, and highest and best interest of the all. I allow all of that to be released now. How's that feel?
Better. Very expansive.
Nice, right? Yeah.
And do you leave it in the you can leave now, or do you also then bring in?
Well, here's the piece. It's like, yes, your conscious mind can bring in, but it was already happening. Like I see this beautiful circle happening. So as you're saying, you can leave now, it's almost like the goodness and the light of you is coming in because you've made the space. Okay. So when you bring the light of you in, what new ways of seeing are you going to see? What new truths are going to land in your world? Because it's almost like you're just pushing that away and then, whoa, it's like this equal and opposite reaction where the light of you just comes in to fill in details. The light of you just comes in to bring it, to be more in your space. Because these sorts of things that we've been believing have been taking up the space and creating pressure in the space and compressing you, the light of you in the space. So now as we move that stuff, it's almost like, oh, look at what's popping out. You. Look what's coming out. Look at what's coming out. Look what's pouring out. You.
Love it.
So sure, you can do some of the work that we've been doing, which is, and because now from a conscious perspective, that feels good. Where you're just kind of going, oh, yeah, I want to bring that in. You can come in now.
Right.
But maybe it already is coming in now.
Right.
Maybe that's exactly what was coming in now. And the reason why it's even come into your head is because it's coming in now. But sure, affirm it. Get your conscious mind involved. Absolutely. Because then it makes sense to your conscious mind.
Right.
And now it all makes sense. And if it makes sense, then it makes sense to your left brain. And your left brain is so much happier because it makes sense. And then so much more able to come along for the ride, because a lot of this stuff is quite right brain, right? So if we can engage the left brain a little bit with exactly that, letting the conscious mind have a conscious moment and an aha moment. Yes, let's bring that in. The left brain's, oh, yes, okay, yes. Yes, I can go along with this. Yes, all right, this magic stuff that she can. Yeah, okay, but this makes sense to me. Yeah, and the more we can, the more it allows for your left brain to make more space for your right brain. Because one of the things that's going on in our North American world is that we're very left brain dominant.
Definitely.
You know, the left brain is very much smothering out the right brain for a lot of people. So the left brain is very logic, rational, mathematical, precise, you know, all the double-blind science. No, we can't take that supplement in until we can see the evidence of the double-blind science. But wait a minute. Heart brain, and I've got this gut brain, and they're feeling brains. And they're good with this. They're good with this. I'm good with this. I don't need a double-blind study that just cost $1 million to tell me that this is good for me. I know I can feel. I can feel. I have two feeling brains that are connected to the right brain. So I don't need necessarily all this stuff that you're telling me that I need and all this scientific explanation when I can just go, wow, that feels good. Yeah, I know what truth feels like. I can just let that truth fall in. Yeah, that's truth. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and it's especially prevalent in the Western society, especially prevalent here, where I feel like in Europe, they really do have a better handle on kind of a, maybe a better balancing of a right and left brain in the way that they operate. They make space, lots more space for conversation and emotional feeling and just giving space to the creative nature of us,
right?
And the nature of us as spirit, and the nature of us as connected beings that really would like to spend 2 hours talking over lunch about many, many different topics, and to see where all of that goes in that 2 hours that we've just given ourselves for lunch. So that was one of the things in the notes that I thought, yeah, let's bring that forward. Is there something else? Oh, yeah, this concept of, okay, so you put out, so this is another way to check up on yourself. So you put out a decree because it makes sense to you. You put out a decree that says, new job, come in now. Like, I'm so frustrated with my old job. New job, come in now. Like, I embrace the concept of you coming in now, you beautiful consciousness of a new job that is so deliciously good for me, that really connects to the light of me, the spirit of me, the essence of me. And yet what you're feeling is constriction, and what you're feeling is fearful, and what you're feeling is anxious as you say that. And you're kind of going, wow, these feelings are not congruous to what it is that I just brought in. You know, because I do want a new job. Well, do you want a new job? what do you want a new job for? So you sit with yourself, kind of go, okay, these feelings are telling me something's off. That's what they're doing. They're telling you something's off. You're bringing something in and it's not feeling good. So you're bringing it in out of timing a little bit, so to speak. You're bringing it in when there isn't maybe the right anchoring or you've got some more clarity that you really need, right? Which is why it's not feeling good.
Right.
So now as you sit with that, first of all, because it's not going to be so easy with all those feelings, so you can clear the feelings. Like, I get that I've got some work to do, but now I'm going to move these. So you can leave now this anxiety that I've just created. You can leave now. I get it. There's something troubling about what I've just brought in. You know, the feelings of upset and nausea in my stomach, you can leave now. I get it. My stomach's literally telling me this is too much or whatever. And when you've moved those, you can even move back the decree. Mm. Okay, new job, you can move back. Move back. I brought you in too prematurely, move back. Just move back. Move back to where you were before I asked for you to come forward. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that you're de-stressing yourself. So now you're sitting there going, that's interesting. So at least I brought myself back into kind of a balanced place, but there's work here for me to do. So what's going on here? Well, why did I want a new job? Why did I want a new job? Did I want a new job because I don't have a job right now. I'm sitting here, like, I'm not making it up for me, but I'm sitting here, you know, I've got, you know, I don't know, maybe some retirement funds or something. And I left the other job, didn't like it, you know, really didn't like it, really didn't like the boss. Really good decision to have left that other job. Now I feel like I really do need a new job. But now I'm sitting there going, well, do I need a new job? I wasn't happy with the other one. I'm still figuring some things out. So what is it that I need? Oh, right. I need money. I really feel like the reason why I said I need a job is because I need money. I don't want to necessarily go into my last bit of retirement. I don't with savings. I need money. So why don't you just bring in money? Oh, well, you can't just bring in money. You can't just bring in money. You have to bring in money to work for money. You're like, okay, well, yeah. But in the decree world, no, you can actually just bring in money. Wherever that money's going to come from, you don't know. But I'm really getting a little, you know, I want some more time. I want some more time to really figure out my next step with regard to a job. And I'd really like to just bring in more money without necessarily feeling like I have to go get a job and commit to a job. And some people might feel like once I commit to a job and once I say yes to a job, I can't get out of that job.
Right.
I just get stuck in that job for 5 years because I don't want to disappoint people and blah, 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 blah. And now I'm stuck there for 5 years because I just said I need a job. And so just bringing that in. Money, come to me now. Money, I allow you to come to me now. Any beliefs that I've held that told me I have to work for that money, I have to work hard for that money, I have to earn that money, I'm letting you go now. You can leave now. You can leave now. So what does that do? It allows for crazy things to happen. It allows for an inheritance to come in. It allows for the government to cut a check for your tax return 2 months earlier than it was ever intended to come to you because you're pushing that now. It allows for somebody to create maybe it doesn't even feel like a job, but somebody to come up to you to say, look, you know, I could really use that help. I could really use that help and I'm really happy to pay you. I could really use this help doing, and all of a sudden it's not even really a job. You're just helping somebody be an extra pair of hands. They're paying you extraordinarily well for that extra pair of hands because maybe they have all the money in the world and they're just being incredibly generous. But what they really need is this extra pair of hands, or they need an extra head to help them think something through. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
But they wouldn't necessarily create it as a job.
Right.
You're not necessarily seeing it as a job. And you're going, wow, somebody's paying me for this? That's crazy. Yeah. So anyway, I just thought it was really lovely to just use decrees to get out of your way and just allow this universe to work with you and make things a little easier.
Yeah. I love this show. It sounds like it'll be a fun process to play with.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I wanted, because I found it a very fun process to play with.
Cool.
And it was just to end this way. Again, the stress of the hot tub and the stress of the deck, the extension to the deck that we're doing for not a lot of money, even though wood's an incredibly expensive avenue. But it's beautiful how it's all being created. And so then the stress that my husband was feeling and the upset and it was filling the room as I went up to talk to him about something. And I just thought, wow, and his tone. And his tone, because he's that stress. So it's like that real kind of masculine kind of, and I'm just like, oh, it's so hard to listen to you when you're like this. And I'd really like you. And my words weren't working. Like, they weren't working. I'm like, dear, you know, you need to change your tone. Like, you're just being pretty intense. And it just wasn't working. And then I remembered the decrees. And I just went, ah, yes. Stress. In this room, you can leave now. Because I knew I'd created some of it. He'd created some of it. Stress, you can leave now. Anger, by whoever has created it, you can leave now. Judgment, you can leave now. Yeah. Insecurity, you can leave now. I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know how to do it. Energy. You can leave now. What was extraordinary was the tone changed. Everything calmed down in the room, and then we were just talking back and forth like normal people, not elevated up here, not my resisting at the same energy dynamic that he was in. It just all calmed down so that we were just talking back and forth about how something might work, and it was all just calm. And I thought, these decrees are awesome. Because what I needed, I could give to myself, even though he couldn't hear me.
Right.
Because what I really wanted was the energy to change. So instead of me trying to teach him something about changing his energy, I got to learn more about how energy could change in a room without having to teach anybody. And how I could just manage energy in a room, because I'm sensitive. I'm very empathic. Right. And so it can become very troubling when everything's intense like that and I'm in a really kind of a gentle space. Yeah, so it's just like just bringing him down to meet me so that we could actually just talk and get stuff done. Yeah, it was very cool.
Well, thank you, Trace.
Yeah, no problem.
You've been listening to News for the Heart. We've been getting to the heart of what matters using decrees. And we'll be back. I think actually we're going to take a little bit of a break in the summer and we'll be back in September. But we'll see you
okay.
Then.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.